you take your Bibles and turn with me into the book of Psalms, the 137th Psalm, and we'll be looking at tonight. And I just mentioned to the wife just a moment ago, I said, it just seems like so much of the music tonight is just kind of going along with the theme of what the Lord has given me to and to lay on my heart, and hopefully maybe touch you and move upon your hearts. And you know, there's an old saying, making melody in the heart is good for the soul. I believe that. But what if there seemingly is no song to be sung when we are in dire circumstances? Sometimes it's hard to reach down there and get that song that you need to carry you over. But as we look at this, we're going to look a little bit closer into the thing, and I want to say this to you. You better have a song in the time of need. And as we look at this, as the people of God, as the pastor's already said here just a few moments ago, I never dreamed that we would be in the state and condition that we're in this day and time. And I can say something to you tonight, beloved. God's judgment is coming. It's coming on America. It's already introducing itself, I believe, abroad in this country. So we're going to look here at our text, the 137th Psalm. We want to read about four verses. We'll pray. And then we'll just see where the Holy Spirit takes us. If you would, please stand with me as we reverence the reading of the Word of God. The 137th Psalm, everybody ready? Amen. It says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I want you to think on that thought tonight, beloved. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for the reading of Thy Word. Now, God, may You open our minds, our hearts, our spirits, every thought within us, Lord, that we would see what You have here for us tonight. God, we thank You, Lord. We love You. We thank You for what You've done here today already. And, Lord, we all thank You for what You do tonight. God, may You help this old preacher, Lord, as frail and as feeble as I may be in mind and education, Lord. I just pray, God, that You'd steer me, guide me, direct me, Lord, in that which You would have. And we'll surely thank You, and we'll praise You, we'll love You for it all, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen and amen. Thank You. You may be seated. We're going to go back to the opening of our text to set the scene with some background thoughts as we look here. And in this writing of the Psalms, we find that God's people, the southern kingdom, Judah, is captive under that of the Babylonian Empire and under their control. And to say, beloved, their state of well-being, of being that of much displaced and that also in distress, would probably most likely be an understatement viewing the descriptive language of the verses. But as we look at this, and before we go into it, let me just give you a little bit of background in what we're looking at here. As we can see, they have been taken in, that of the kingdom of Judah, which is the southern kingdom. They have been taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Now we've got to keep in mind that God's people have always, oftentimes, been in trouble with the Lord because they've got a condition like you and I have in this day and time. It's called a sin condition. Beloved, they were disobedient under God's commands, His guidance and His instructions, and therefore, judgment came down on the people. Beloved, as I've said to you in this hour already, there is that judgment that's also coming down on God's people even in this day and time. I'm not talking about just the heathen. I'm talking about God's people because we have not taken the stand that we need to take in these latter days of the things that's all around us. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. I hate to even think about the news that comes on from day to day, hour to hour throughout. And it doesn't matter which network that you are getting, that you're receiving, the trials and the times of troubles is all around us everywhere we look and everywhere we hear. But as we see this, the northern kingdom, Israel, they had met the same fate as what the southern kingdom, Judah, has. They went into the Syrian captivity. And beloved, as we look now at the southern kingdom, Judah, they have gone into the Babylonian captivities. Now let me say this. God's judgment on these people has not just been a rare occasion. We've already seen two of the major captivities that they had experienced, that of the Assyrian and also that of the Babylonians. But also, my friends, they had just came out of Egypt sometime before. And look what they went through, beloved, as they went as a stranger into a new land, a land that was of a wilderness, a land, though, that God had given them a promise, but still yet that old sin nature all about them, my friends, got them into big trouble along the way. We can even look beyond in that of the centuries ahead if we go into the New Testament area of that of Rome, my friends, and that of the dictatorship of Titus and the captivity and what they went through that period of time. So they were not a stranger to adverse situations and conditions. But let me say this to you. God brought judgment each and every time on His people. And He used the evil forces that's all around, beloved, that dominated that of the civilized world in that day and time to bring that judgment to the people. Now, as we see here, beloved, there's even more to all of this because they are looking at a situation for that of having some type of reprieve. And, beloved, it's going to be long and a ways off before anything can be done for these individuals. Because if you'll kind of look through this and study through this through some period of time, you'll see that they, in themselves, beloved, was in captivity for 70 years. Now, can you imagine that many of the people in this day and time not only was born in captivity, they died in captivity. 7 years is a long span for births and deaths to come that within the people. But as we see here, I want to go just a little bit deeper of this situation as we look here. Now, there's not much that is said in the Scriptures about this captivity. Now, we can read and pick up parts of this, and there are some spiritual inferences that's given to us, but there's also some historical references that's provided to us in that regard, that we can see that there were other individuals, even though the Scriptures does not go into detail on these particular ones. Jeremiah, we've been in Jeremiah now for what, several weeks, and praise God, let me just stop and say it's getting better as it goes along, Pastor. You just keep following God, amen. But we see that Jeremiah had prophesied of that, of the captivity coming. So we know that Jeremiah was familiar with the situation. But also we can learn through that of the study, and again, the historical records, that also Ezekiel and Daniel was involved in that of the Babylonian captivity, even though this particular text of Scripture goes outside of the realms of individual to incorporate for our looking and studying and our reference as the entire people of God that we're looking at here in their circumstances. But I want you to notice here as we move forward, the Bible says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Beloved, as we look here, when it speaks of the rivers of that of Babylon, there are the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers that run in that area. Now, as we can see the enslavement of God's people, these rivers that they're speaking of, as historians have told us, is that the people were enslaved, God's people were enslaved under the control of Babylon, there, my friends, to dig canals for that of industrial purposes. There, my friends, was the source of their water supply and the infrastructure, if we may use such a term in that regard, that they dug the canals that furnished the water that went in to Babylon there. And there, beloved, they had all of the plush and the lush gardens and all of the things in there. So the slave labor that was performed by God's people was to devise and set up
and bring on these reservoirs, these tributaries off of those two main rivers in order to supply the waters there. But I want you to notice, beloved, while they're there and they're engaged in, they're in slavery, their workings here, whereas it says by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. My friends, let me say this to you. When we get into the point where we don't have the freedoms of God, we don't have the freedoms to worship Him, we don't have the freedoms to serve Him, beloved, we are anguished in our very spirit. And as we see here, it says that we sat down and we wept and we remembered. Beloved, I know there's been times in my life, and I believe that we were truthful in our ways. We would say also there's been times in our lives that we have sat down, we have wept because what? We are remembering something about how that we have failed God. And then that which brought the circumstances that we are in. Let me say this to you, beloved. God is still judging us. Now listen, we're not looking at the great judgment right now, but He judges our lives and our actions and very things. Yes, we'll stand before that of the judgment seat of Christ one day. But beloved, He will judge us day to day in that, in circumstances and activities. And I thank God, praise God, when God is judging me and when God has to chasten me, I still know, praise God, that I am His and He is mine. Amen. I've never lost sight of that. I've never lost the hope of that. I've never lost the assurance of that, praise God. But they sat down, and there they remembered Zion. They remembered, my friends, the gatherings that they brought the people there, and they worshiped God, and they sung the songs of Zion and all of these different things, beloved. And as we see here in this regard, they were so distraught in their spirits. The Bible says that they hung their harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. The old weeping willow tree that we oftentimes see as it flourishes there, weeping of its branches to the ground. Beloved, let me say, this was a brokenhearted people because they did remember the freedom that they had to worship God. And my friends, they didn't have to stand under the shadows of mockery because they had a heathenistic, unbelieving people saying unto them, sing us the songs of your God. Where is your God now? My God has always been where He's been, my friends. He hasn't moved. He hasn't relieved Himself. He hasn't took anywhere else counsel other than that which He is doing here with His people. He says right here also, beloved, as they have hung their harps upon the willows. I can't imagine what it would be like, Pastor, if we came in here and our people were saddened and brokenhearted and the musicians would come in here and they say, I can't pick up the guitar and play because my heart is in anguish. The pianist could not sit at the piano and lift up, my friends, their fingers to play the keys on the piano, to make music, to make harmony, to worship our God. And then, beloved, how about Brother Dale, the choir? They just didn't have a song in their heart anymore. The music was shut down. Everything was hung up on hold. But yet, my friends, we were there. We were present. We couldn't go anywhere, but we couldn't do anything for God. We couldn't worship. I can't imagine what that's like. I don't know about you, but I love going to church. I love getting together and gathering with God's people in the same likeness of one another, worshiping a great and gracious God. This is a freedom, beloved. Let's don't take it. Let's don't take advantage of it. And I'm going to tell you something. If we don't plant both feet and take a stand on this, beloved, they're going to be coming through the doors of this church, praise God. I'm going to tell you one thing. They're going to have their hands full. Huh? They're going to have their hands full, praise God. That's all right. They can take me on. But, beloved, let me say this to you. We see where they sat down. And that's the first thing they did. They just sat down, and in their seating they wept. And then they remembered the things that they did not have any longer, hanging their harps upon the willows. Now, notice here in verse 3 of our text, where it says, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth. And that word mirth simply means merry. Sing unto us, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And we see what verse 4 says. Here they was making fun of the people of God. Say, here you are now. And I remember, supposedly, you used to go along and you would sing all the songs of Zion. Where's your song now? Where's your God now? Is He not listening? Is He not giving an attentive ear to that of your music, your problems, your difficulties, your troubles, your anxieties, everything that you're going through? Where is your God? That's simply what they're saying to us. Sing one of your songs. And do you remember, beloved, they used to go up to Jerusalem. They would go up to Jerusalem. Now, when you read just a little bit further back in the Psalms, you see the Psalms of the Songs of Degrees. They used to sing these songs, Brother Dale, as they would all, from all the parts of the country there, start their way up to Jerusalem. And there, my friends, they would yoke up one with another, one caravan with another caravan, and praise God, they would sing these songs of praise and honor and glory unto Jehovah God. And now, my friends, they don't have that. They're missing that. Boy, I'm going to tell you something, that took a big chunk out of their heart, amen. And I like this. Here's for some of you students of the Word. Every time that it mentions going to Jerusalem, you're going up. Never going down. Never going over. You're going up to Jerusalem. Let me say something to you tonight, church. I have never been to old Jerusalem, but praise God, one day I'm going up to new Jerusalem. Amen. I'm on my way, praise God. And I hope you're with me. I'm going to be looking for you. Oh, how their hearts was broken. We can't sing. Look at us. Look at it in our circumstances, the state and the condition that we're in. How can we sing the Lord's song? How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Oh, my friends, let me say this to you. America's becoming strange, isn't it? Perversion up to our eyeballs. Places that I never thought that would sell out to the devil. And this perverted crowd, my friends, that calls herself a socialistic people. Let me say this, my friends. You can be as social as you want to, but I'm going to say this. And hey, there's only one people I know that I can yoke up with, and that is God's people. Amen. Yes, we are to seek and to save that which is lost. Let Jesus do the saving, but we're to do the seeking, my friends, by His guidance. But notice here, as we've already looked at, and like I said, beloved, we can see all of the things that have transpired against these people and the condition and the state. And now we're seeing that here in the strange land, beloved, that is not of their home place. They are here in an unknown, unfamiliar, and undesired place where their hearts would not simply fit in to that of the system. They did not feel like singing. Their joy was gone. You know what? I've had to sing oftentimes with trembling lips and tears coming down my cheek, all choked up and hoarsed up. But praise God, while there's just a little bit of utterance in me, I'm going to still praise His name. Amen. The voice may not sound clear. It may be a little raspy. It may not be quite on key. But as long as I can lift up a breath unto Him, praise God, I will lift Him up. Hey, He's worthy tonight, church. I've got a problem with this situation right here, really and truly. But let's look here just a moment. Look over here if you're there real close to the 77th Psalm. I'm trying to rush along, Pastor. You just bear with me. Psalm 77. Let me just read a couple verses here. This is a Psalm of Asaph. In verse number 6, the Bible says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. What's it speaking of here, preacher? Simply, beloved, it's speaking of the song in the night is that song, my friends, that comes to your heart in the darkest hours of the night. in the midnight hour, in the 1 o'clock hour, in the 2 o'clock hour, 3, 4, 5 o'clock. It makes no difference. When your heart is troubled, your song in the night is what's going to carry you through till the daylight comes through. And that's what's going to carry us until Jesus, the sunlight, S-O-N, comes through to take us home, praise God. Hey, what a thought that we can have and bear on our hearts here tonight. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Have you been there? Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, look here. What else it says? It says, will the Lord cast off forever? These people, my friends, were under the judgment of God. They had been put into the hands of the enemy, even though God overshadowed them, even still with grace. He says, and he will be favorable no more. Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. That word Selah has got to mean something to me here of late. Just like you're in a holding pattern. You're just kind of swinging there in state somewhere, just waiting on God to move. And all you can do is just pray, Lord, I need you, Lord. I need guidance. I need direction. I need your leadership, Lord. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in his anger shut up his tender mercy? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Here, beloved, while they sat there by the rivers of Babylon, they sat, they wept, and they remembered. God is remembering us, amen, through it all. Did he forsake his people when they were in captivity? No. He was still overseeing them and overshadowing them. God is still in control no matter who the enemy is. Remember that. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thank God. At this time, no song could meet or satisfy the occasion. But sometimes, maybe to the contrary, maybe we just need to hum a little melody of an esteeming or that of an encouraging song that may be spiritual and it may be medicinally uplifting to our spirits. This is what one needs, my friends, when we're detained in a foreign country, in a foreign place, in a foreign condition that we may be in at that time. Listen, pilgrim or prisoner, God's still in control. And I'm reminded of the song we sing, He Keeps Me Singing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, keeps my ever longing, keeps me singing as I go. Oh, how it helps to sing songs, as I said, of the sunlight, to dispel, my friends, that of the darkness and these things, beloved, that come upon us in these regards. Oh, my friends, there is a hope, there is a promise, and I can even think and look in this regard, in that which is said here, the songs that we sing today, the praise songs and the worship songs and the rejoicing songs and the testimonial songs, the songs of deliverance, the songs of redemption, the songs that, my friends, that we need in the time of need. And we need to take this thought for consideration, I believe, as we look here in the Scriptures. I believe that it would have been better, beloved, to have sung the songs for prayerful deliverance. While you're sitting there in your state or your condition and your woes, wondering when God is going to come to your rescue, to your need, my friends, I believe, beloved, hey, listen, Pastor, I believe I could have mustered up a little hum or a whistle or something for God. In our piety and in all of our pestilence of troubles, my friends, we've got to reach down into the inner parts of ourselves to reach out unto God in that time of need. I think also, as we look at that back over here in Psalms 32, in Psalms 32. This is a psalm of David. And I'm pretty much staying in the Psalms here, except for one verse I think I want to touch on. The Lord leads me there. But in the 32nd Psalm, this is one of the most blessed, I believe, of all Psalms that are to touch even the vilest, but also the most blessed. And the Bible says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Can I say, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed my transgressions from me? Thus saith the word of God." He says, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." Hey, maybe he needed a song on his heart during this time. "For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Hey, beloved, he is faithful and just. If we'll confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. That's the promise of God, and it still holds true in this day and time. He goes on to say, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with" what? "Songs of deliverance." People, if we don't have one, we better start hunting for it. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Be a little bit spiritual tonight, and you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll get a glimpse of what I'm saying, beloved, in that regard. I think about that song that they... Laura played the... "He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison from me. I am glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God, he set me free." I think that's a good song of deliverance, amen. "He set me free." And then I think about the songs of Moses back over here in the book of Exodus. Over here in Exodus chapter 15, we see in these first two verses. Now we know the situation. God's people has been called out. They have been led out. A crossing of the Red Sea, my friends, God is in the making, God is in the working, and God is supplying to that of the people's need. Now notice the first three words of chapter 15 of the book of Exodus. "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him." Boy, he was singing a song in deliverance, wasn't he? Brother Dale, he hadn't got there yet. He's on his way. He's still in peril because of the enemy forces. But God says, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm still with you." Keep singing the song, amen. Keep singing the song. Oh, my friends, how God surely moves on our accounts and our midst and those things of that which we need. And then, beloved, as we look at this, I can say this to you, as I said here in this regard. You know, sin will take you further than you ever wanted to stray. Sin will keep you there longer than you ever wanted to stay. And then sin will cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. I think 70-year prison sentence is pretty stout, don't you? Pretty stout sentence for 70 years. And beloved, that's what it cost. And that's what they had to pay. They lost the benefits of blessing. And then I'm reminded also back here in the 126th Psalm, a song of degrees, one of the songs that they sang as they go up to Jerusalem. The Bible says there in verse 1, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream." Woo, praise God. "Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with" what? "Singing." singing as I go, amen. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. How soon are we? How's it going, brother? It ain't going too good. The dog ate the cat. And mama cooked the dog for supper. It ain't going too well. Honey, don't you look at me like that. I know you'd never do anything like that to me, at least I don't think. Something she calls barbecue, I'm not sure. Then it says, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Now, do you notice what's going on here? Now, we've got to look at this thing chronologically, but we've got to understand, too, that not everything exactly all the time in the Scriptures in chronological order. Sometimes we have flashbacks. We can identify with things like that and so on and so forth in that of the arrangement. But as we look at this 126 Psalms, there's a different song being sung. There's a different tune. They're singing now, aren't they? Huh? Do you think God, Brother Dale, awakened them to the fact, hey, get a song on your heart, that it may make melody in your soul. Everything's good now. Everything's hunky-dory. God is great. God is good. And we thank Him for our food. By His hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. And God kept giving it until the next time they messed up. Amen. But how many times do we mess up and seek God's forgiveness? Sometimes I feel like I'm just a disaster trying to find some place to happen. Amen. But thank God of His mercy. But I want you to know something here, too. In our text, look back with me to 137 Psalms, and I'm speedily trying to hasten down here. Notice here as we looked through verse 4, but let's look at verses 5 through 9 through the remainder of this chapter. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. Could we say that as a testimonial? Lord, if I forget thee, would you do this to me? Lord, if I forget the service of God, the ministry of God, the work of God, if I forget thee, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, here's that word remember. If I do not remember, they remember now, but if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. God first. And everything subsequent to that. He goes on to say, O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. In other words, you're going to get your just reward because what you've done to us, it's coming back on you one time because God's going to judge you too. Yes, He is. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. As we see here, though in a dire predicament, helpless and hurting, they never forgot their God. You can see that by the sorrows in their hearts in the writing. They never forgot Him, never forgot the homeland. Never far removed in spirit. And then, beloved, we see that of what it says in verse 7, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom, that's the Edomites, they were the descendants of whom? Esau. Go back and study, read the Word of God. He says, in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it even to the foundation. In other words, make it bare, desolate, destroy it, ravish it. And then, O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed. And then he says, happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. This is what they refer to as an imprecatory prayer. How many of y'all heard of that? An imprecatory prayer, that's when you pray vengeance on someone. But we must remember what God says. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will recompense. In this regard,
This is the indication that they're given. Their God will one day recompense their sufferings and sorrows that was brought on to them. Beloved, we have the same hope. But I believe that we need to have a song within our hearts for the times of difficulties and troubles. And I thank God for a people that can surely in the worst and disastrous of times be able to muster up just a little hum, just a little soft-spoken song of gratitude unto the Lord. You know, even when God chastens us, we know, beloved, if we will seek His forgiveness and that we will come to Him and repent of our sins. Beloved, you may have to pay the penalty of your sin, but the sin will be forgiven. This man right here worked in the prison ministry for many years. I don't know how long. I've also been associated to the prison ministry through law enforcement. I know what it is. And I know what it is to have to deal with these situations, and I know the lives that these individuals go through. But I also know this, that God is a forgiving God. If you've committed a murder, you may have to go to the death chamber. But don't worry about him and who can kill the body, but to him that can kill the soul. You'll have to pay the penalty. But forgiveness and eternal life is through Jesus Christ. There is within a heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. That still small voice whispers to us even the most dire of circumstances that we're in. Brother Dale, I told you this kind of went along with the singing. I noticed that you're not heavy laden tonight the way you sang and clapped your hands and bounced around. Hey, for a fellow your size, you bounced around pretty good. Have you got a song in your heart? I trust that each and every one here does tonight. Thank you. God bless you. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you, Pastor. Father, we do love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for even the hardest, most difficult times that we're involved in. Lord, when the tears stream down our cheeks. And Lord, when we can't hardly utter our lips for anything other than just to be lost in our hearts, speaking to you through the heart, Lord, that you know the difficulty, you know the circumstances. Lord, always have that song that will come to mind, that will come to heart, Lord, that we can sing to carry us through, knowing that Jesus loves us, provides us, saved us, assured us, and one day soon He's coming to get us. So be with our people, and we'll thank you, we'll praise you, we'll love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.